You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chickentown, this is the Flopcast episode 452.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Happy New Year, Kevin. Happy 2021. How are you?
This is the first show of the new year. Although technically, secretly, we're still in the old year as we record. But by the time this comes out, here we are, 2021. Hello, people of the future.
We're ready for 2020 to be done, so I dare say this counts.
This totally counts. And we're not doing much today. We're just relaxing. We're going to ease into the new year. A little TV talk, I think, is the plan today. And here we go. First, let's start out, of course, Cornflake. It's the first National Whatever Day of the new year. What's going on for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, today we've got a little bit of TV talk, but we've also got a little bit of 80s and 90s post-punk music talk, because on January 4th, it is the 65th birthday of Bernard Sumner, as in the lead singer of New Order.
Oh, that's kind of a deep cut. Okay. I did not recognize that name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's him, originally of Joy Division, as all of the members of New Order were.
Right.
And, you know, admittedly, I didn't know his name either, but I did know the song Regret. And I remember hearing that song and loving it and thinking, oh, man, is this what the music of the 90s is going to sound like? Is this like, and I was thrilled. It's like, oh, this is going to be the future of music. And then grunge happened and I was completely confused.
Well, yeah, at that time, yeah, New Order was around and Depeche Mode.
And Cure.
Yeah, the Cure, absolutely. So that stuff was around. But yeah, it soon got buried by everything else, good and bad. That the 90s had to offer.
Yes.
I do not go too deep on New Order. Like, I like it when I hear it, but it's not a band that I ever really got into.
I liked what I heard in the early 90s enough that I went back through their catalog in the 80s. I like Joy Division when I hear it. I don't necessarily seek it out, but as a band that was kind of like a phoenix rising from the ashes after what happened with Joy Division, New Order impresses me. And another thing I learned was that New Order was going to be on tour this year, which pretty amazing after all these years. They had a date scheduled for September in Boston. It's already postponed. I know you don't go deep on their catalog or anything, but did you have a favorite New Order song?
I mean, I only know the super well-known ones like Bizarre Love Triangle and whatnot. You know, I could only name a tiny handful of New Order songs. That's a band I really should, you know, take a closer look at. One of those blind spots that we should go back and fill in.
100% agree. And if they do come to town in a time where it is safe to go out and see them, I'm getting us tickets.
Okay. Yeah.
So in the meantime, happy birthday to Bernard Sumner.
Sure.
Cool guy.
Guy from New Order. I did not know that name. All right. There's a good whatever day to kick off a weird new year. And yeah, let's get back to what everyone's just been doing throughout the past year. A lot of people spent a lot more time than usual just flopped over in front of the stupid TV. I think including you, right? You said recently that you stepped up your TV time this past year.
In the biggest possible way. And I mean, we're not even covering half the stuff that I watch because it wouldn't be of interest to everybody. Like I'm watching things like The Umbrella Academy and Letterkenny, and I'm on the verge of watching Stranger Things, Kevin. I'm almost there.
Oh, you've got to do it. That's got to happen this year.
I will get on it. But one of the things that I didn't realize I was missing out on, even as everybody, including you, like everybody around me was talking about Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And I was missing it until, I would say, a month ago or so. But when I found it. I watched that, like, all the episodes of season one and season two within, like, a week or 2 week period of time.
Oh, yeah. It's a show that you can devour pretty quickly. And I saw it right after it first came out, which was a couple of years ago, I think, because it premiered on some other weird streaming channel thing. And then I think it just went to Netflix fairly recently in 2020.
Which is where I found it.
Yeah. And a lot of people just discovered it this past year because they didn't get it through the other. It was like YouTube Red.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's why I didn't watch it at first.
Yeah, it was not regular YouTube. There was something called YouTube Red.
That sounds scandalous.
Yeah, it sounds like a porn site, but
like
but
my
it wasn't. Yeah, it's like no, it's the Karate Kid. It's fine.
It's the Karate Kid, like you've never seen him before.
You surprised me last week by announcing that you had just seen Cobra Kai and wanted to talk about it. And I thought, okay, great. We didn't have time last week, but so we pushed it back to this week. Now we have the whole year open in front of us. We could spend the whole year just talking about Cobra Kai.
And I defy anyone to stop us.
We're reformatting the Flopcast for the new year.
The Cobra Kai cast.
It's become strangely specific and laser focused.
What would that be? That would be Flop Kai?
Something like that. All Cobra Kai all the time. So, I mean, we've talked about Karate Kid many times. Have you seen all the original movies? I don't remember.
I haven't seen the next Karate Kid.
The Hilary Swank one you did not see. So you saw the three Ralph Macchio ones?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Most people didn't even bother seeing part three.
Ah, no, I did.
Good. It's important.
Yeah. But I still want to watch. I just haven't gotten around to the next Karate Kid yet. I still want to watch it.
Next Karate Kid, you should absolutely see. And we have discussed the next Karate Kid here on the Flopcast when we had Ed here.
Train talk.
Ed from the Sponge Awareness Foundation joined us to talk about trains, specifically trains in movies and TV that's set in the Boston area.
Yeah.
And that's how we got to talking next Karate Kid. That was 1994. And this is Ralph Macchio was out, but it was still Pat Morita as Mr. Miyagi takes on a new student. And that was a very young Hilary Swank. And a good chunk of the movie is set in the Boston area. And Hilary's boyfriend worked on the MBTA, the subway system in Boston. And there are scenes where they're in like the rail yard where they keep the subway cars. And they actually climb and sit up on top of a Boston Red Line subway car.
And we talked about whether or not it's plausible, like whether or not you could do that if you wanted to.
You probably don't want to climb up on top of a subway car.
Well, maybe you don't.
But when I brought this up with Ed, he didn't think that they would have really shot that using a real Boston subway car. But he looked into it. He used all his secret train connections in the world of trains and found out that, yes, they did. That was a real Boston subway car. They modified it. Like, they attached a ladder to the side of the car so they could climb up on top of it. And at least at the time that we talked to Ed about this a year or so ago, it was still in use.
Yes.
Somewhere out there, people are flying around Boston on the Hilary Swank subway car.
Very true. And they probably don't even know or appreciate it.
They don't even know. Because I think, why didn't the MBTA, why didn't they go all in on that? Shouldn't they have just painted Hilary Swank's face on the front of it? Just completely deck out that car to celebrate its history, its rich cinematic history.
And there should have been a Swank Station.
Absolutely. They should have renamed.
South Station should have been Swank Station.
That could be Swank Station. Yeah, it's the same number of letters.
Yep.
Starts with an S.
Easy enough to fix that sign.
They wouldn't have had to repaint too much stuff. A smooth transition to Swank Station, which is what I'm going to call it from now on. Since Christmas Day, we're now able to track right here from Chickentown Studios where all the subway cars are as they're moving around Greater Boston. We have a tracking device set up.
I was about to ask if you get yourselves a MBTA crystal ball. It sounds like it's even better than that.
We got a real thing. I got because Felicity, the mayor of Chickentown, she's kind of a subway nerd.
Yeah.
And I got this thing for it. It's like a circuit board that you display and you hook it up to the internet and it's got little lights on it. There's a map of the subway system with little lights and they show in real time where the subway cars are.
Wow.
It's strangely hypnotic. You can just suddenly you can just watch lights on a circuit board as the subway cars roll around Boston. So that's cool. But what would be even better, they've got to set up a special designation for the Hillary Swank car, you know, so that we can track exactly where it is.
Oh, that would be really neat.
They need like a special colored light on my circuit board for Swank. And we'll be unstoppable.
You need the Swank light.
But I digress. That's the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, which does not seem to have any connection to Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I don't think there have been any direct references to the next Karate Kid era of the film series thus far. But who knows, because the new season, by the time this show comes out, right, the season 3 premiered
on the 1st.
January 1st.
And of course, Pat Morita ties them all together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Miyagi is in all 4 of the original movies. And then there was the cartoon also. Ever see the cartoon?
I've not seen the cartoon.
1989. We just missed it because we covered all the cartoons of 1990. In 1989, there was a Karate Kid Saturday morning cartoon.
Man, I missed out.
You totally missed it. And it was Daniel and Miyagi and a girl from Okinawa. I don't think it was the same character as the girl in Karate Kid 2, but it was an Okinawan girl. And they were like traveling around the world, like on adventures and stuff.
That's really neat.
Yeah, there's some clips online, I think. If you poke around, you can see at least some of it. I don't know if the whole series is available anywhere. Maybe not. Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita did not do their own voices for the cartoon. Although Pat Morita does like a narration for it, though. So you do hear his voice kind of introducing the episodes, I believe.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's got this goofy theme song, too. So I recommend checking out Karate Kid, the cartoon. Now, Cobra Kai, we have not really talked about Cobra Kai. All I know is that you saw it.
And was dazzled.
And also for our listeners, we should say we're going to try not to spoil anything that's a surprise about Cobra Kai. So we're just going to kind of kick around what we like about it, but if you haven't watched it yet, you should, but don't worry about us revealing any big secrets or anything, because I think we can avoid that kind of stuff.
Now, you and I have seen Billy Zabka in person, yes?
Yes.
Super Mega Fest?
William Zabka, of course, Johnny Lawrence, the main adversary kid in the Cobra Kai dojo of the original movie. Yeah, I've seen him at several conventions over the years, including here in Massachusetts at Super Mega Fest.
Yeah. Because I think I remember you pointing him out and going, he's, you know, from Cobra Kai. That guy is so cool. But of course, my memories of him prior to Cobra Kai are from the Karate Kid movies where he's the heel.
Oh, yeah. That was his thing. That was his specialty in the 80s. He was on a run in the mid 80s where he was just the bad kid. And Karate Kid, of course, most importantly. But he was also like a bully in Just One of the Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember? And in National Lampoon's European Vacation and Back to School also.
Yeah.
And so Cobra Kai, what a revelation it's been, you know, for those of us who only know him from being the bully in goofy 80s movies. And now
eyes opened.
It's like, oh, this guy is good.
Phenomenal. And yet, from everything I knew from the original Karate Kid movies, I thought to myself, how could you compel me to watch a story that centers on this guy? Well, Cobra Kai answers that question really well.
Oh, yeah. And it's the shades of gray in the new series as far as who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. It's not as clear cut anymore. Some would argue that it never was. You know, there are people that have always argued that, hey, Daniel was kind of getting himself into a lot of that trouble back in the original movie.
Yeah.
From Johnny's perspective, Daniel's the guy getting out the hose at the Halloween party. And
yeah, he's the weasel.
Yeah, Daniel steals my girl.
Yeah.
You know,
I would have crushed, but definitely did crush on Daniel LaRusso as a as a young cornflake. And boy, do I see things differently now.
You know what will make you crazy about Ralph Macchio? The immortal Ralph Macchio, who does not age. Ralph Macchio is, I looked him up today, he's 59 years old.
No.
The crazy part, Cornflake, when they made the original Karate Kid, Pat Morita was in his early 50s.
Whoa.
He was like 51, maybe 52.
Yeah.
But, and he was like the little old man.
Yeah.
And now here's Macchio. He still looks like he's 15.
True. It's insane.
Yeah, there's the new generation of younger kids now between Cobra Kai and then the Miyagi-Do. For my taste, it gets a little too bogged down in the kids.
Yeah.
Moping around, pining after each other and their relationship stuff. I would have trimmed a little bit of that stuff out, but, you know, okay.
Yeah, teeny bopper high school drama.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that was part of the first movie, of course, but...
Yeah, it was.
Watching it now, it's like, I don't care about these kids. Get back to Zabka.
Yeah. I mean, there certainly is that.
I have some issues, a couple of problems I could nitpick here and there. That's one of them, I think, is a little too much of the teen drama stuff. I would dial that down a bit. There's a couple of ridiculous coincidences that happen here and there that I thought were a little too much, including there's an incident in one of the very first episodes of season one and the car crash at the beginning.
Yeah.
A little too crazy a coincidence for my liking. And even in the second season, there's the Mexican restaurant scene.
Yeah.
Where a couple of pairs of characters happen to be seated right next to each other. And oops, sorry, no, you can't go to another table. We're all booked up. So now you have to have this awkward dinner together. And it's like, come on, they both happen to be at the same restaurant at the same time and seated at the same table.
So unlikely.
I mean, it was a fun scene. Once the scene got going, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, it's a little contrived.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, whatever.
But when that's all that's wrong with a show that is oh so right, we will take it.
I mean, all the little touches from the movies. It's such a love letter to the original movies. So many nods to the past. And some of them are very obvious and a lot of them are very subtle. A phrase that someone says can be a callback to something that was said in the original movies. Some of the shots, when they go to golf and stuff, they go on their date.
Oh, yeah.
Miguel
and Samantha.
Yeah, Daniel's daughter go on their date. That's the same date that Daniel and Allie went on in the first movie, to the same place. They went to golf and stuff. They really replicated those scenes, you know, which was fun. Johnny's red jacket. You know, there's a scene where Miguel is going through his closets and he says, hey, can I borrow this jacket? And you don't even see the jacket in the shot, but you know what jacket he's talking about,
mm-hmm,
you know, because they're getting ready to go to 80s night at the roller skating rink. The skeleton costume.
Yes. You know,
from the Halloween party, of course, where all the Cobra Kai guys are in those creepy skeleton costumes in the original movie. We get to see the skeleton costume again.
On Miguel.
The car, that classic old yellow car that Miyagi gives to Daniel in the first movie, we see that car again. And fun thing about that car is that's the actual car from the movie.
Whoa.
They gave that car to Ralph Macchio as a gift when they made the first movie, and he's kept that car all these years.
My goodness.
That's the original car.
Stunning.
Also, the headband, when Daniel puts on that headband with the black pattern on it.
That's the original headband.
That's the original headband. Ralph Macchio personally saved that headband. By the way, I have that same headband as well. Because last Christmas, to quote George Michael, last Christmas, Felicity got me the DVD set of Cobra Kai Season 1 and Season 2, and it came packaged with Daniel's headband.
Oh, that is crazy.
Yeah, so I have it here. I have not worn it yet. I don't feel worthy.
Oh.
The music in Cobra Kai.
Outstanding.
Is terrific as well.
Yes.
And they're hitting all the notes. There's little flashes of the themes from the original. But then you get the pan flute kind of stuff, the Zamfir pan flute from the original. You get some taste of that. You get a lot of the synthy 80s sounds. It's new music that they're producing, but it has that synthy 80s sound to it. And then you get some real 80s music as well, of course. You know, Bananarama. You get some Cruel Summer.
It's a great scene with the Cruel Summer, yeah.
And Daniel even makes what he calls Bananarama pancakes.
That's right.
When he's cooking breakfast for his kids. Johnny, meanwhile, is just kind of stuck in the 80s. And
yeah.
I love that they get a lot of fun 80s stuff into the new series just because he's kind of trapped in the past. You know, he's like this sad sack, peaked in high school, and has just been struggling along ever since until finally reopening the Cobra Kai dojo. So he's so locked into the 80s and hair metal, and he just wears Metallica t-shirts all the time. And
doesn't know how computers or the internet work.
such fun stuff with him being clueless about posting videos online for Cobra Kai. And he's like, we have to put some hash browns on the end of these messages for the internet, you know? Put a hash brown on it. Like hash brown Cobra Kai.
That is awesome.
Love it. But REO Speedwagon, they get in there. There's the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel and Johnny are in the car together and start singing along to Take It on the Run, REO Speedwagon. You don't get Glory of Love. They have not gone full Peter Cetera Glory of Love, but they do play some Peter Cetera Chicago, though, in one scene. You're the Inspiration, I think.
Yes.
So they're right in that zone.
Right, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I wish Pat Morita was around for all of this. That would have been...
Oh, of course. But they certainly do a lovely job of paying tribute to Pat Morita.
So many great nods to him, but boy.
And there are some... Again, we don't want to spoil things for people that haven't... jumped on board yet. So there are several other characters from the movies who appear, and sometimes it's a big reveal. It's a surprise when you see these other characters, and so we'll leave that for people to discover. But it's been terrific how many people they've brought back, and I believe there will be even more of that for season 3.
Huh.
In season 2, there is a tease for the return of a character for season 3.
So then there was this, yeah, there's this one other character who's like, wow, I don't recall ever seeing her in the Karate Kid movies, but she's a parent of one of the kids in Cobra Kai, Aisha.
This is an actor that you caught in that scene, and I totally missed who this was. Before we started recording today, you shocked me by mentioning.
I was like, hey, you know Kim Fields is in this, right?
I totally missed that was Kim Fields. And I just saw Kim Fields last year in her Christmas movie, You Light Up My Christmas.
which reunited the Facts of Life girls, but not really.
Tootie. Gotta go back and rewatch that scene again. Yeah, that is fantastic. And again, as we hinted last week, we have some Facts of Life plans for the Flopcast for 2021.
Good times are ahead.
So there you go. Cobra Kai. Looking forward to season 3. I've got some more TV recommendations for you, though, as long as this is turning into like a TV talk kind of episode.
Okay.
I can hit you with some shows. I've got 3 shows that I want to recommend because these are shows that I have not heard very many people talking about. There's a show that maybe not a cornflake show, but in case it has escaped the notice of others, there's a show called Wayne. It's a terrible name for a show. It's just called Wayne because the kid who's the lead of it, his name is Wayne. The show is called Wayne. It's just 1 season, 10 episodes. It's sort of a dark comedy, but kind of violent as well. Maybe a little too violent for you, I think.
Okay.
But it's set in Massachusetts, for parts of it at least. It's set in Brockton, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely.
Yeah, not much going on in Brockton.
I don't think very much TV is set in Brockton.
True that.
So it's just this kid named Wayne, teenage kid, and with a terrible, dreadful home life. And he meets up with this girl, and she's also in a horrible home life. And the two of them just end up hitting the road. They jump on his motorcycle, and they go on this crazy road trip down to Florida and have some wacky adventures along the way. And meanwhile, there are other people from Brockton chasing after them for various reasons. And it's really crazy and, again, violent. It's a lot of, like, crazy people beating each other up. But it's also kind of sweet and very funny. Really well done. So if that sounds like something that might be of interest to any of you, it's on Amazon Prime. And yeah, it's called Wayne. The only people in the cast that I recognized were Mike O'Malley, who's a comedian out of Boston.
Yeah.
You would know him from Glee.
Yes. I think he's also in The Good Place.
The other person I know from this cast was Michaela Watkins, who plays this crazy lady in Florida. And she was on Saturday Night Live like 20 years ago for 15 minutes. But she's very good. The whole cast is great. I don't know their names, but the two young leads are fantastic. So I recommend Wayne if you can handle some violence in your dark action comedies.
I'm getting kind of desensitized by the Umbrella Academy, so this could happen.
Oh, there you go. That's true. Okay, yeah, we're toughening you up, Cornflake, for the new year.
Well, after 2020, I feel like I need to be ready for anything.
Yeah, because again, as I've warned you, Stranger Things has some
gore.
Some creepy, gory monster stuff in it, yeah. There's a show called Rosehaven, which my friend Jessica down in Atlanta, she recommended Rosehaven. And this is an Australian comedy series. This guy, he moves from the mainland of Australia back to his little hometown in Tasmania to help his mother at her real estate company. And this guy has his best friend is this woman, and she kind of tags along with him. So it's the two of them figuring out small town life in Tasmania. That's the premise. It's really good, really sweet and funny. Very, very funny. These two leads are terrific. And there's a lot of just weird, quirky characters in the town. Really special little show. And I think they've done 3 seasons of it. And I don't know how much of it is available or where it is, because I can't remember. It might be Netflix or Amazon or somewhere. And I don't think every season is available in America. Because I think Felicity tracked down the whole series, but I think she had to do some...
Oh, I'm used to the...
I think she went on the dark web.
Yeah, the dark web. As big a fan as I am of shows out of the UK that are not readily available, I think Rose Haven's probably the kind of show that I could track down.
Yeah. I think she had to... She met up with a kangaroo on the dark web, and we were able to see the rest of Rose Haven. But if you can find it, it's terrific. And put the captions on, because, you know, they're speaking... Very, very Australian.
The accent is thick. Thank you, Dark Web Kangaroo.
It helped to have the captions on, but I'd say like if you liked like Parks and Recreation and that kind of thing, it's really, really nice. Rose Haven, really special. Even a little northern exposure-ish as well, because it's kind of, you know, odd, quirky, small town stuff. Check out Rose Haven out of Australia. And the other one that I definitely want you to check out, Cornflake, and everybody, is Derry Girls. Have you heard of this?
No. What is this?
Derry Girls. That's D-E-R-R-Y. Derry Girls. This is on Netflix, and this is an Irish comedy series.
Ah, okay.
So it's Derry as in Derry, the town in Northern Ireland.
Not the town in New Hampshire.
Not Derry, New Hampshire. Oh, yeah. You wouldn't have to. Who needs Netflix, right? You could just hitchhike over to Derry right now. You'd be there in 5 minutes.
I grew up next door to that town. I knew everything that was going on there.
This is Derry, Ireland. Very, very different. It's a period piece as well. It's set in the mid-90s.
Oh.
As in, this is, you know, the Troubles, as they say, in Ireland. You know, this was that wave of violence that was still very much underway. And it's set against the backdrop of the Troubles. But it's a comedy. It's about a bunch of girls at a Catholic high school.
Oh.
In Ireland.
Okay.
I should say it's a group of girls. It's 4 girls and 1 boy, because one of them, it's their cousin from England, comes to Ireland to stay with her. He goes to the girls' school also.
Okay.
So he's also a Derry girl, if you will.
Nice.
But again, very, very funny. The family, all the nun who runs the school, everybody's great. Again, captions on.
yeah, you got it with that brogue.
But I know that you love The Commitments.
Yes.
And so here you go. Here's more of Ireland in the 90s.
Oh, you know? Yes, please.
Yeah. And I mean, The Cranberries, they use a lot of Cranberries music on it. So I think you'll like this a lot. It's great.
Wow.
Derry Girls, there's 2 seasons, 2 6-episode seasons, and hopefully a third will be along sometime in the new year. Not sure. But I highly recommend that to you, Cornflake.
Yeah.
There you go.
That sounds amazing.
All right. That's enough TV talk, right?
Yeah.
We've got the whole year ahead of us to stare at the TV.
True. Yep. I think it's fair to predict there'll be a lot of that this year.
Absolutely. I do have a little more business before we wrap up, though, and that is I got stuff to plug.
Plug time. Yes, yes, yes.
Let's try to do this quickly, but a couple of things. We have another DragonCon American Sci-Fi Classics Track quarantine panel to plug. And this is from Christmas Eve. So while we're still relatively in the holiday season, tune in to the American Sci-Fi Classics Track on YouTube. And I joined them for a panel called From Donkeys to Otters, Christmas Gets Weird.
Yeah, it does. When you put it that way, yeah.
That's donkeys as in Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey.
Yes.
And otters, of course, as in Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. So this was just a big wacky gang of Classics Track irregulars just talking about weird Christmas stuff.
Good stuff.
It's a fun time. It's Joe and Gary, of course, from the Classics Track. Jonathan was there. Chris was there once again. Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion. I was there. And making his Sci-Fi Classics Track debut, friend of the Flopcast, Kevin Cafferty, joined us.
Oh, I bet that was fun.
Yeah, really fun to have Kevin on board. And as I said at the top of the show, all part of my master plan to take over the classics track with Kevin's from Massachusetts.
There will be no stopping you.
Out of the way, everybody else. So we'll have a link to
the Kevins are a-coming.
From Donkeys to Otters, Christmas Gets Weird is a fun panel. Now, meanwhile, here on the ESO Network, I also made a guest appearance this week on Earth Station DCU.
Nifty.
Where, of course, our friends Drew and Cletus every week are discussing all things DC Universe, DC Comics and movies and TV shows and stuff. And man, from the world of DC movies, this was a big week because Christmas Day, we got on HBO Max, since they couldn't really have a theatrical release to speak of this year. And so they dumped it out on Christmas for HBO people. Wonder Woman 1984.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I had some issues. Everybody seems to have some issues with this movie, and understandably. It's a bit bumpy and awkward. It's not nearly as great a movie as the first one.
Tough act to follow, though, you must admit.
Absolutely. I mean, it's Patty Jenkins still directing. It's Gal Gadot still as Wonder Woman, and she's great, of course. What a terrific on-screen Wonder Woman. Overall, I liked it. I mean, I've seen it twice because we watched it on Christmas, and then I watched it a second time to prepare to do this panel. So I'm very familiar with this movie. I saw it twice in like 3 days. But yeah, there are some issues, and we get into those issues with Drew and Cletus and Mike Gordon from Earth Station 1, and also from Earth Station 1. You know, on Earth Station 1, they do the Geek Girls Take segment hosted by our friend Angela, and Angela was also on Earth Station DCU. I was so happy that Angela was there because normally I see her at Dragon Con.
Nice.
And of course, in 2020, I did not. So that was fun. I don't think I've ever done a podcast with her. Yeah, good group. It was a good talk. We get into everything about Wonder Woman 1984, good and bad. It is set in 1984, you know, so it's got that going for it for 80s nerds like us.
Nice.
Couple of things about it being in the 80s that I did not get into. I'm not going to repeat what I said on the show because, you know, you can go listen to Earth Station DCU, but a couple of weird nitpicks.
Okay.
That we might as well throw out here. Here's a weird one. There's a big scene at a mall. You know, because it's the 80s, so let's go to the mall.
Yeah.
And apparently there's a B. Dalton bookstore.
Yes, I remember B. Dalton's.
In the background, of course. I didn't see it. I somehow missed the B. Dalton, but Felicity saw a B. Dalton. And then also, though, later on in the mall scene, you see a Walden Books.
Oh.
Which led us to a 5-minute discussion about, were there malls that had both a B. Dalton and a Walden Books?
Those malls, I would have proclaimed those malls to be magical. I would have loved that.
I'm really wondering if that ever really happened.
I don't think that's possible.
I mean, we're talking about a movie in which there's an immortal Amazon with a magic lasso flying around.
Good point.
So is it so unbelievable?
That the mall might have to. Yeah, if you can suspend your disbelief for the lasso, you might have to suspend it for the multiple bookstores.
Yeah. And yet, that's the kind of thing that we were getting hung up on. I was like, wait a minute, that would never happen. Why is there a Walden Books? Now, here's another weird nitpick that, and again, as we were watching it Christmas night, I was like, wait a minute, what was that? There's a scene where they go to a record store, not at the mall. This is just like a separate
standalone record store.
Yeah. I think it was called Galaxy Records. But they show outside the storefront of this record store, there's a big sign that says vinyl. Now, Cornflake, in 1984, would a record store be announcing on the storefront vinyl?
No. What?
I think vinyl is
pretty much the heart of what you're selling at a record store back in 1984. Okay, so that's a little weird.
If it's a record store, it's okay. We get it. Yeah. We know what the records are made out of. But we were not screaming about vinyl in 1984 the way we are now.
So, yeah, a little weird.
Yeah. But again, you know, Amazons, Themyscira, Magic Lassos, vinyl. So it's not a documentary. Not everything's completely realistic. So, okay. Cornflake, let's wrap up this show and get us out of here.
Well, while I'm thinking about the fact that I now want all of my malls to have at least 2 bookstores in them, you can go on the internet and check us out at flopcast.net. or at facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, if that's where you hang, our handle is @flopcast. We're on Instagram too. The_flopcast is our handle there. On wherever you get your podcasts, basically, but like Apple would be an example of a place where you might download this podcast. Leave us a rating, leave us a review. If you could, that would be so nice of you. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, if you get the Cobra Kai DVD set, there's some deleted scenes, and you can see Ralph Macchio making Sponge Awareness Foundation pancakes. Way better than Bananarama pancakes, I assure you. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for the first Flopcast of 2021. Everybody, thanks for sticking with us. It's going to be a weird new year. Please keep on being safe, be careful, be kind, be goofy. We'll see you next week.
Keep it floppy, y'all. Peace and cookies.
The 42 cast is turning 100, but like all good things, it must come to an end. Tune in to our epic finale as we see who lives, who dies, and who gets their own spinoff. And then come back when the 42 cast is back for season 2 with even more segments, more guests, and more of explaining why Ryan is wrong. It's why we're still the ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything. You can only find all this awesome by downloading the 42 cast, a proud member of the ESO Network.
Cornflake, welcome to the first secret after show of 2021.
Oh yeah, last week we get a shot of all the after shows of 2020, and now we start fresh this year.
This is going to be like the year of the after show.
You think?
Yeah, what a year we're going to have on the secret after show, and no one's going to hear it.
Okay, sign me up. I'm all for this.
Because it's a big secret. This is only for people that actually listen to the promo. You're still listening. Here you go. Secret after show. You know what I have for our first after show of the year? Aresia is coming up. You know, I go to Aresia every year.
Yeah, I try to go every year. This year I may be able to do it pretty easily, yeah.
You were there last year, which normally it's set in Boston, of course, a science fiction fantasy convention, which we participate in every year. This year, of course, Aresia will be virtual. It will be online. And I'm happy to announce for you secret people that I will be doing a handful of panels this year. I've got my panel schedule.
Very good. Well, given that it's this month, yeah?
It's Martin Luther King Day weekend. So Aresia is January 15th through the 18th. And I don't know if this has even been announced yet. This might be secret exclusive information that can only be shared on the after show. But I'm going to run through my panel schedule right now in case people want to join me at Aresia. I'm doing 3 panels this year. Saturday, January 16th, 10 o'clock at night. It's Saturday night, but we're talking Saturday morning because we're doing a panel called Serial and Cartoons, Saturday Mornings Revisited.
Awesome.
Those are always crazy fun panels. You know, we've done a bunch of these Saturday morning cartoon panels over the years. So some cartoon talk Saturday night. I think my friend Dan is going to be on that panel with me. Good guy. That's going to be a fun talk. Sunday night, Sunday, January 17th, 8:30 p.m., the panel is called Remembering Denny O'Neill. Denny O'Neill was a comic book writer at DC Comics and comic book editor for many, many years through the 70s, 80s, 90s. Very important comic book creator. And we did an episode of Earth Station 1 all about Denny back in the summer. And finally, Monday, January 18th, 2:30 in the afternoon, also comic book themed. The panel is 1986. The year nobody left the comic shop.
Sounds like a good year.
That was a big year in comics, and I remember it well. And yeah, we're just going to be talking about all things comic books from the year 1986. You know, both the big mainstream stuff and some of the more obscure independent stuff. We're going to get into it all. Actually, our friend Kevin Cafferty, who we just spoke of in the main show, Kevin's going to be joining me on that panel along with some other fine participants. So that's my panel schedule, Cornflake. That's Aresia coming up in a couple of weeks.
Very nice.
It's all online. You don't have to go into freezing cold Boston.
That's a big plus.
Yes. Stay home. Stay warm. But you can still be a huge nerd.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.